It is so good to be with y'all this morning. Are you having a good time? You don't have to do that for the tape, you know. Don't want nobody listening out there in the radio land or nothing to think the pastor's a little lost. Oh, on the way home last week, I was here for one day and then I had to fly out for a conference. I was 2 days late getting back. I'm sorry I missed last Sunday. And got in late Tuesday and had to fly out. On the way home, I always stop when I'm driving from Montana at a friend's house in Missoula. I don't know if I should share this with you because you may not invite me to your home. But wherever I stop or wherever I go, something always happens. It's more spiritual attacks than you can imagine. And I was about 4 hours outside of Missoula driving back to get back here. And my phone rang and it was my friend's whose house I was going to spend the night at to get some rest. And their house was on fire. So we prayed on the phone that God would limit it and that they could get the fire out. And you won't believe the things that happened. Some guy was just driving by on the highway, saw smoke, came up. She was panicked because her husband was out riding the range, gathering cows. And he moved all the cars and grabbed the hose and helped hold the fire down until the fire department got there. And we only had to fix a 6 by 10 inch hole in the roof. So we're praising God for that. So if I just drop by your house, maybe it won't burn. Amen. So it's been an eventful 10 to 12 days. But God is good. God's good for it. He is good for it. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being our God. And thank you for the opportunity we have to open your word. Father, you know my prayer that you'll move me out of the way. That I can concentrate and see you. That others may see you through your word and through me. Father, we are talking about you. And what a glorious subject you are. I pray now that you will give me the words to say. And that hearts will be touched and never be the same because you will speak. Thank you for teaching me that others may be taught. And thank you for your strength to make it through the day. In your Son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say, praise God. We are in the book of Matthew, chapter 2. We have been in the book of Matthew for a long time. And hopefully today we will be able to finish chapter 2. We have established some mighty powerful points in the book of Matthew. And today's lesson is no less important, powerful, reassuring. I cannot imagine what some of us go through when all of our lives and things in it goes wrong. You're coming home and you're driving and you hear about your friend's home is on fire. And the thing you think about is, why? Can I get a witness on that? You are having difficulty with a relationship or a marriage is broken up. Children may have rebelled against you. And in our world today, parents may have rebelled against you. And you may ask yourself, why? You may have lost your job. You don't know how you're going to pay the rent. You don't know how you're going to pay the bills. You don't know how you're going to keep your house. And you know you've given your life to the Lord, and you know you've trusted Him, and you know you want to please Him. But the bottom just falls out, and you want to know why. Is not God the God of all and supposed to have all the power in the world? Why are you letting this happen to me? God, I trust you and I walk with you and I have given my life to you and I'm dedicated to you. And then it turns around after you pour your heart out to God and it gets worse.
Well, come on,
Pastor. It don't get better. It seems to get worse. And if God gives you, all of us know this is for real. Many of us know this is for real. But, you know, a lot of us would like to express and experience the problem of having enough money. That's one trial I wouldn't mind trying. But when God gives you enough money, He always brings a problem along that money can't help.
Well, say it, brother.
Now that was by someone that don't have any money now. Don't get confused. He's on staff. I know where his pocketbook is at. Hoping to experience that one day. That's fate right there. Fate. And your best friend turns their back on you just because you stood up for what was right. Family members don't understand. People look at you and say, what kind of sin is in your life? What have you done wrong? And you start playing those mind games with yourself. People tell me that the Jews was God's chosen people and no one has suffered more than them. Christians are the second group of God's people and look how much we suffer. But it's all in the call. You want me to prove it to you? Let me see if I can prove it to you. We have seen that the wise men, the Magi, has come to worship God because they have studied the scriptures and seen the star and have been influenced by Daniel. And they came and they told the king that we know that a new king is born. And we've already established, you know, that doesn't seem to be that wise to come and tell one king another king is born. And you'll come to anoint him and worship him. And Herod the Great, who is in chapter 2, you know, he has killed several of his sons and kills another one before he dies. And if he'll kill his own kids, he probably don't mind killing another king. And we find out that there was some history behind Herod and the Magi. And we find out that Herod lies. All the Herods in our lives lie. Sometimes we are personal Herods. And we lie. And you find him. Just let me know. I want to go worship him. Two. That brings us to the Magi leaving and going searching for Christ, and they find him. And we found out that they have given him gifts of gold and myrrh and frankincense. And then an angel of the Lord comes along and tells the Magi, don't go back. You go a different way. Now, these boys is bad. If you know anything about the Magi and the Parthians that came with them, they weren't too afraid of Herod because they had tried some 39 to 40 years before to try to take all of Jerusalem and try to put their own king up. So there's some history between Herod and the Magi. But the angel of the Lord said, you go in a different way. Don't go back to Herod. In verse 13, after they leave, and when they were departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Man, it's probably a good thing that I wasn't Joseph. Can't hear it. Amen. Now, y'all don't know what I'm talking about over here on the east side. Can I break it down for you a little bit? I would get real southern with the angel. What? Can't hear you. What you talking about? Run. I got God in my house. Well, now, I'm sure some of you are not getting the message here. This isn't the first dream I got. Now, you know, one thing about Joseph, after he got that first dream, I guarantee you he's not going to argue about the second or the third. I can't hear you. See, he ain't like you and I. Now, he's getting the word from the Lord in a dream through an angel. We have the word of God through the Holy Spirit, through writers in the book. You see, because we think we can question this. Come on, Christians. See, most of us think we can question this. And if I be Joseph, that's S-O-U-F-F. That's sovereign, southern speaking. If I be Joseph, I said, wait a minute. I thought when I got Jesus, I didn't have to run no more. I thought when you told me I'm going to have the Messiah of all people arrive in my house, who should I be afraid of? Who am I? The adopted father of God Almighty in the flesh? Angel, I know you got the wrong message. You better go back and talk to God about this. My running days is over. My hurtful days is over. My distrustful days is over. My dislike days are over. I got God on my side. Boy, you better listen at this dream and get out of here. Guy asked me one time, he says, Hutch. I said, yeah. He said, I heard you believe in guns. I said, yeah, I do. He said, I heard you have guns for protection. I said, yeah, I do. And big dogs. The dogs will help me get my composure to shoot. Ken Hutcherson is not a pacifist. They said, well, I thought you trust God. And if someone's going to try to hurt you, I thought you would pray. I said, I will pray. Help me shoot straight, Lord. I'm controlled by Jesus Christ, not that person. Joseph says, I'm controlled by God. I received the dream. I have received Jesus Christ into my family. I have accepted him as part of it. But if you say, God, run, it's time to run. It's so many of us got a bad case of misidentity of faith. God has never asked you to eliminate your wisdom in faith. Because the majority of the time, our faith has a wisdom that goes against worldly wisdom. What? Does this make sense? Literally, God just was born on the earth. Herod, God sent one angel. One angel in one night didn't break a sweat and killed 185,000 people. One angel. If I was Joseph, if I was Joseph, I ain't running nowhere. Send an angel down here. I dare Herod to come to my house. Can't hear you. Now, if God says don't run, don't run. But if God says, hey, agitate some gravel, disturb some rocks on the way out. You understand what I'm saying? I don't understand why God would tell one angel to go kill 185,000 and then tell Joseph, you need to leave. Oh, hark. That's King James. You know why the difference? One helped produce scripture, and the other one helped fulfill scripture. You see, God may tell one of us, stand. And he may tell another one, run. But both is equal to you knowing what God is saying and not what you want. Okay. Oh. Ooh. Ooh. It don't make no sense to me because but I guess the rest of the verse will tell us why he told them to run, because they didn't have to run. You see, I get mad at God because I am totally opposite. The times I want to run is when God said, don't run. Can't hear you. The times that I want to give up on somebody, God says, you better not. The time I want to hold on, God said, don't you do that. The time I think it's time to fight, God says, surrender. But you got to know the word of God. You got to be controlled by his spirit. Because he don't send too many angels down here to talk verbally to us anymore. Have you noticed that? Because he said, only thing will happen if I send my angels to some of you as Christians is the only thing going to happen is they're going to get tired flying there and back. Can't hear you. Come on, get the pastor amen on that. That was a weak amen, but I take any amen I can get. Woo! Angel came. See, I like God because he's used to dealing with Joseph in a certain way because he know it works. Can't hear you. He knows it works. He knows it works. And if God knows that something works with you, you think he's going to change his modus operandi? Is God, do you seem to find yourself over and over and over in similar situations? Now, you can find yourself in similar situations because you make bad decisions. Can't hear you. Amen. Or you can find yourself in a similar situation that God makes sure you don't make a good one. He'll just make it bad. He'll just make it put you right back. Then you start questioning, what sin have I done? Do I have enough faith? I should handle this better than what I'm handling. Who says that? Whoever says that? Whoever says you're supposed to handle it better if things are going bad? Why you read that in Scripture? You're supposed to handle it by getting out of the way and let God handle it through you. But whoever said you're supposed to handle it better? Oh, I shouldn't have got mad. Did they do something to make you mad? I can't hear you. Did they do something to make you mad? You ought to be mad. Just don't let your madness dictate your actions. You submit it. I can see Joseph saying, you know, I have Jesus on my side. He's in my family. I'm looking at the boy right here. Why do I have to run? God, this just don't seem right to me. God says, that's why I didn't ask you to do what you thought. Because if you do what you thought outside of the word and being controlled by God's spirit, Scripture won't be fulfilled. You want me to prove it to you? You better get down to Egypt and I go. But does it have to be in Egypt? Can I hide closer? Come on, talk to me, church. Talk to me, church. You will obey God, but you want to take your own route. You want to go your own distance. So I've walked with you for 5 years, God, and you ain't done diddly squat in my life, and I'm a little sick and tired of your shortcomings. Talk to me, church. I remember when I first came to Seattle, have a t-shirt made. Hutch is going to Seattle to do God's battle. Walked in the Seahawk training camp, sporting my shirt. Bold, big, black for Jesus. Talking about the writing. Some of you got thrown off on that, but I know that. They don't pay enough money for me to put my body back out there, bro. I go out there with a gun. You better not touch me. Get back. Get back. Score. Now, we're supposed to be talking about Scripture here. Let's throw it down. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Yeah, I go. You want me to go? Yeah, I go. I don't want to go to Egypt. Okay. I can't get out of it. I go to Egypt, but I'm going during the day. I'm brave. Going at no night. Come on, folks, talk to me. We'll always find something in God's word to argue with. We'll find something in God's way that he wants us to do it to argue with. will always come up with some excuse. That low down, no good, dirty rat, he ain't no good. I put up with it for years and years and years. I'm out of here. God said, what? Who said you're out of here? I've tried. She is, you just won't believe that woman. Now I can't believe that woman. Look what you've done to her. She was great before she met you. You thought she was great. That's why you married her. You didn't go out to look for a bad woman, did you? I'm looking for a nagging, low down, no good. I got to find me one because I got to have a good excuse when I want to get out of this. Can you hear you, church? Talk back to the pastor, please.
Come on, pastor.
He says, you know what? I'm going to hear what God said. Even though I may not understand it, I'm going to do what God said do. Even though I may not want to go that far. And even though I'm using wisdom, he snuck out at night. See, my big thing, I want to call him a coward. You coward. You got Jesus. Let me tell you something. God's instructions is always the wisest. Regardless what our understanding is, regardless what our feelings are, regardless how much we think that he has just abandoned us, do it God's way. Jesus' family did. If his family does, who in the world gives us the right to not obey God's directions? We're supposed to get through chapter 2, right? I'm going to pray for you, and it won't be good. And was there until the death of Herod? They stayed there until the death of Herod. Hosea chapter 11, verse 1 was fulfilled because Joseph took Jesus and his mother and went to Egypt. God's plan and promise was fulfilled, even though it seemed irrational to do it that way. It seems as though he didn't have any protection to do it that way. And it seems like some may think he was sneaky and conniving and a scary cat to sneak out at night. But when he did it, God's word was fulfilled. You know why there's not so many people in here getting the word of God fulfilled in your life and promises that he's given you, why they're not coming through? Because you're constantly maneuvering on how to manipulate God's word. There's too many of us think we know better than God. Look at this. And he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly angry and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all in its borders, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. What type of man do you think this has to be? Now, I'm not talking about killing all the children from 2 years down. And where do you get an army to obey you to do that? What kind of people has he surrounded himself with that would take an order and go and grab all the children of 2 years? Some things that they went down, gathered the children, brought them back. I think the Bible's just flat out straight on this. They went down and killed the children. You think that that is horrendous, don't you? You know, you think about what kind of man will have babies wiped out. Abortionist. You're not yelling about that. Why we as Christians are against abortions? We're against abortions because it's taking a life, whether you try to call it a fetus or not. If you don't think it's a child, leave it alone and see what happens. See, killing the children don't bother me as much as something else bothers me. You know what really bothers me about this verse? The audacity of Herod, after searching and having his wise men and the other priests and magi study the scriptures, come to the agreement that the scriptures was right, that the Messiah would be on the earth, and he went against God to kill the answer to scripture. What audacity! Know that God has sent the Messiah on earth, proved it by his wise men and the scriptures, and he says, it isn't good enough to take my place. This man is 70 years old by now. What baby is going to affect his kingship? You know what's amazing to me? Is how many of us right here in this church falls under the same sin of Herod. Know the word of God, know what it says, and will go against it just as brave and bold as if there is no tomorrow. I want them killed, wiped out, 2 years and down. God says, all right, Herod, you want to be a bad boy? I'm going to give you something to die about. Anyone know how Herod died? It was not a pretty sight. God set him on fire basically from the inside with disease and gout and rotten. He finally, I think, just burst open. He was so stinking, it says, the stench of his sickness, even the people serving him couldn't get around him. And he threw everybody in jail and said, when I die, kill them. This, my friends, is the ultimate rebellion. And you can say as much as you want that I will never get that far. But if you ascend in one thing, it's just a matter of time that you'll go to two things and then three things. You know what so amazes me? I have never, ever seen an alcoholic that didn't take the first drink. I am an alcoholic, but I've never drank. We got padded rooms for people to think that way. Don't get psychological on me. That's where your mind's running right now. You're trying to think of something else. Get back on the subject. I've never seen a drug addict. That's what the word means, addicted to drugs. That didn't take their first shot. Didn't try that first toke. Ooh, the pastor. He's getting the vernacular down. The drug culture language. Anybody in here thinking it'll never happen to me? You are a prime candidate. We getting too personal? Good. That's what I'm here for. I've been up all night. I'm upset. Caring, trying not to get worried. So I want to make others feel bad too. I want you to leave with a little burden. Help me, Lord. When he wiped them all out, then we get the next one. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah was their voice heard, lamentations and weeping and great mournings. Rachel was weeping for the children. And would not be comforted because they are not. Now, there's a lot of arguments saying that the destruction of the children wasn't that many. So even Josephus doesn't even write about it. Josephus don't write about very many Christian issues. He could care less about what happened to Christians. He was a Jewish historian. So you probably won't find it in his writings. This great lamentation of believers. It really wasn't believers. You really ask. It was just Jewish parents with young children. But it was based upon a Christian issue. The Lord and Savior that was born in Joseph's house, who obeyed God and left Bethlehem for Egypt at night because he was told to. Look at this. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Who's the dream catcher? Joseph. You stay down there till I tell you. Can't hear you. You stay down there till I what?
Tell you.
You stay down there until I
tell you.
Now, you can get out of this marriage when I
tell you.
Oh. Can't hear you. You can be disobedient to your Christian walk when I tell you. Talk to the pastor. Get it up there. Say some amens again. You don't have to study your Bible when I tell you. You don't have to do it. You don't have to love your enemy until I tell you. You don't have to love your enemy. Can't hear you. Can't hear ya!
That's right.
You can sleep with all those guys you want before you get married until I... Don't make me come down on the main floor now. You can sleep with any girl you want before you're married as long as I don't... Maybe those two is more personal than the others. You can cheat and you can curse. You can do anything you want until I don't think the Bible says that, does it? Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord came and said, hey, arise, take the young child and his mother. I love that. Never says take your child, Joseph. Never says your son, Joseph. Always says it's the child and his mother. If you were Joseph, would you be a little uptight? Look, I'm the one that's got to die before he's king. Can't you at least let him call me my boy? How many of you get a little jealous if you didn't get any play in this? Excuse me, I'm sorry. How many of you, if you didn't get the recognition that you think you deserve, will be a little uptight in this situation? I'm not going to forget the clock this time. A couple weeks ago, I was preaching so hard, I forgot we were on time. You know what I'm saying? I just thought, God, you can stop the sun for 24 hours. Stop that clock. He didn't answer. Kept going. Saying, arise, take the boy, the child, and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead who sought the young child's life. Folks, if you follow God's instructions, it will work out. It doesn't matter if it's 5 years, 20 years, 40 years, 50 years. It will work out.
Come on now.
You got to believe God's word. If you follow his instruction, he will not leave you alone. I don't want to hear that, Pastor. I don't want to hear it. You're not in my situation. Praise be to God that I'm not. You are. And maybe you need it and I don't. Because I'm in some situations that you're not in. Because maybe I need it and you don't. And maybe we have made different decisions. That God's going to hold us accountable to. Can't hear you. Ooh, is chapter 2 good or what? I'm not going to preach it this hard next time because I'm probably going to be asleep. But at least we got the first service on tape. I may just have them replay it. Just stand here. Start the tape. So don't try to sneak back in here. You've heard it once. Obey it. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the place of his father Herod the Great, he was afraid to go there, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside into the parts of Galilee. Is God continually communicating to this guy the same way? Can't hear you. Now, we call it a dream. I wish God would communicate with me in a dream, Pastor. Only thing you have to do is drop a couple of letters. D-R-E-A-M. Well, baby, one letter. Dream. How did he communicate to Joseph in the dream? Did he just whoosh, or did he communicate to Joseph in the dream with the word of God? The angel communicated the word to Joseph what to do. Guess what you and I have when we don't know what to do? We are communicated by God with a word to do. It ain't good enough just to know the word of God. You are only happy when you obey and do the word of God. If no one else is going to enjoy this, I am. Oh, my goodness, God is so good. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, the last prophecy that is fulfilled, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, he shall be called a Nazarene. Oh, really? You can't find no verse that says that. He's going to be called a Nazarene. I look, Isaiah, you gave me a verse about 3 weeks ago, Pastor, said Isaiah 11 was a fulfillment of this. There's no such thing as a call a Nazarene. Wrong. I don't have to listen to the word of God from you anymore, Pastor. You are wrong. Well, let's interpret the word of that word that Nazarene means. It is a term of dislike, distrust, low repute. You'll be known and despised and disliked. That is what the scripture says about the Messiah, and that's what the name Nazarene means. Because even some of the other disciples, when they were being called, said this: can anything good come out of Nazareth? That's what I thought for years when I was treated the way I was treated in Alabama. Can anything good come out of Alabama? And God says, yes. A black man filled by my spirit, knowing the word of God, and will teach it to anybody and everyone, regardless of color, nationality, background, education, financial, or any other ism that should be a wasm, has come out of Alabama. Let's bring the guys up.